knees and let me lead a prayer. Father God, we thank you for your love, your commitment to each one of us. We thank you that you are a God of love, acceptance, and forgiveness. And you've predetermined this, a wonderful assignment of each of the moms that are here today. All of the blessings that they bring, all of the things that they do, some of those hidden times, those times where they're tired and fatigued and they keep giving, Lord, you see it and you reward them. And I pray today would be a day in which you would just place a double blessing upon them, refill their heart, refill their soul, give them a vision as to their assignment, give them a great sense of destiny as to what you're going to call them to with the days remaining in their life. And we just thank you for their life. We thank you for their influence. And we love them and give you praise, Lord, for each of their lives in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. How many moms do we have? Raise your hand. Okay, let's give our moms a round of applause. How many, do we have any grandmothers here? Raise your hand. Any grandmas? Okay, we got some. Oh, Julie's a grandma. Okay, raise your hand nice and high. Okay, we've got some good grandmas. Do it again. All grandmas. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So I think we've got enough here, Rochelle. We may. If we don't, we'll have to give them added things. So any of our grandmas get these, okay? How's that? Yes. Okay. Hands up, grandmas. Come on. All right. Yeah. And here's one right over here. Good. And we have one right, ma'am, right here. Thank you, Rochelle. Let's give Rochelle a round of applause. Isn't she? Thank you. And I think we came up, there's two grandmas, and we came up one short, so we're going to give them a little cluster, a couple more clusters. Oh, no, we're not giving that little cluster. We've got them.
I'm leaving on the train this afternoon.
Oh, you are. Okay, she's leaving on the train, okay? So she's giving up her flowers. She's heading out of town. She's had enough. That's awesome. We're thankful for all of you and just honor you this day. How many moms? How many are there? Okay, let's hear it for the dads that are actually going to be doing something. Any dads have any plans for their mothers today? Okay, all three of us. Okay, good. I kind of figured out why I like Mother's Day so much. You know why? It all kind of came to me yesterday when I was at Costco. Because I'm selecting all of the foods that I want to eat today. And I brought it all home, and Julie goes, this looks more like a tailgate party. I mean, I had bratwurst and baked beans and all of these good things. So we're going to have a great time, and we're going to look forward to it. And it really is fun today to celebrate. Well, two stories about moms I want to lead off with, and then we're going to look at a scripture in John. Interview by Denzel Washington. And it was amazing because at that point, he was one of the top, I think, five highest paid actors. And this interviewer was talking about his career and the path of his career. And he goes, I got to be honest with you, there was a very distinct defining moment in my life in high school where I was at a crossroads and some things weren't going very good. I had a lot of bad influences in my life, and I was kind of gravitating towards those, and I was heading down a path that was not good. And he goes, I had family members, I had aunts and uncles, I had teachers, I had everybody kind of coming in on me. And he goes, the prevailing word to me at that moment was, you're up to no good, you're on a path of destruction, and no one was really offering him hope. And it was his mother that came to him and said, I want to tell you something. And I'm paraphrasing, but this is how I recall it, because I thought it was very impactful. She goes, I want you to know something. No matter what you do, no matter where you end up, I will never give up on you. I will never give up on you. And he said, at that moment, I decided to get onto the right path because my mother believed in me. And he goes, all of a sudden, he goes, my life began to take a whole different direction. That's the power of belief. It's the power of a great vision that a mother has. The second story is Winston Churchill. I'm a student of history. I love it. I read a lot about different historical figures, and I love Winston Churchill. And I didn't know this. When I first studied his life, I didn't know that he, in his grade school years, suffered. He doesn't know if it was clinical depression, but he was depressed a lot. And more often than not, he remembers himself crying himself to sleep in his grade school years. And the reason is he suffered from a poor self-image. At school, as a result of the poor self-image, he was failing his classes. And the reason he had a poor self-image is the kids would make fun of him. They said, you've got a funny body and you've got a really big head. And they kept accentuating that. And he was a chunky little guy, and he had a big head. And even as an adult, Winston Churchill has that big old round head. But he would, as soon as the recess bell would ring, he would go onto the back side of the recess and try to get around the back side of the building so the kids would chase him and be relentless with him. And he would hide until the end of recess. And his self-image kept plummeting to the point where he was failing. And finally, the schoolmaster sent a note home that said, we want to tell you, your son has a conspicuous lack of abilities to succeed in life. And we suggest you maybe homeschool him or something like that. And you know, the mother did the very interesting thing. She didn't shade him from that. She didn't hide that note from him, even though he was a grade schooler. She showed it to him. And she said, we're going to use this as a point of motivation in your life, not intimidation. And she said, we'll turn it around beginning today. And he tells about that in many of his books and such, where he writes about his life. When he was sworn in as prime minister at age 62, as the oldest prime minister for the British people, he had that very note in hand when he was sworn in. And he said at that moment, what began to build in him was a prevailing spirit, not an intimidated spirit. And he taught the British people to prevail. When word on the street was, how will the British people succeed? It was Winston Churchill who said, we're asking the wrong question. It's not how shall we survive and how are we going to just survive. We're going to prevail over Nazi Germany. And he became the great voice of hope. He became the great leader of hope that navigated the whole world to take on Nazi Germany and free up the nations. The power and the belief of a mother. The power and the belief of assignments, of purpose, of great purpose in each one of our lives. And you know, Jesus was a voice of hope. A lot of times when I say, how do you view God? How do you view God? What's your picture? What's your image of God? I think if most people are really honest, they do have a picture of judgment. They have a picture of condemnation, a God that wants to condemn them. The Bible says that Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to what? To save the world. He didn't come to condemn you. He didn't come to put a magnifying glass on the failings of your life or the sins of your life. For the Bible says we've all what? We have all sinned. We all have fallen short. He didn't come to condemn us, to put a magnifying glass on those sins. He came to save us and to be a voice of hope for each one of our lives. And the moment you and I begin to believe that voice, like the voice of a mother, is the moment you begin to rise and you begin to live up to those very levels that God wants you to live. When you listen to the condemning voices, it drives you further down and it becomes a lack of motivation. And you get into cycles and patterns of whether it be sin or living below where God wants you to live. And so we want to talk about that this morning just briefly. I want to read one scripture in John chapter 8, and I just want to bring up four simple little points. John chapter 8, it's kind of an interesting scripture to bring up on Mother's Day. The more I thought about it, a woman caught in adultery. But I wasn't thinking so much about that as much as the heart of Jesus for us. And really, this Mother's Day, getting the heart of our God and how much He loves us and how much He wants to just kind of bring us in. And that's always been the heart of God. It's always been the heart of Jesus. John chapter 8, Jesus returned from the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of the religious law and Pharisees brought a woman they had caught in the very act of adultery. And they put her right in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman is caught in the very act of adultery, and the law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They're trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down, and he wrote something with his finger in the dust. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, all right, stone her, but let those who have never sinned be the first to stone her. Then he stooped down again and he began to write in the dust. And when the accusers heard this, they began to slip away one by one, beginning with the oldest, probably because that guy was the smartest. You know, the older people kind of get it first. The oldest, he started leaving until they all left. And it was just Jesus and the woman. And Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, no one, Lord. And he goes, neither do I. Now go and sin no more. Here's the four simple points I want to give you this morning on this Mother's Day. And the first is this. There's always going to be accusers of our lives. And it begins with the enemy of your soul. The enemy of your soul is all about accusing you. He's all about judging you. He's all about condemning you. And you know, people gravitate towards the worst points of their behavior because if they're not redeemed, if they don't have a heart for God, they kind of move that way. Even religious people move that way. Even religious institutions. And you know, these Pharisees, he said, you guys are whitewashed. You're all looking good on the outside, but inside your hearts are just death and dark and evil. And the reason he was saying that isn't because he didn't like them or love them, is he just knew the human heart. He says, you're trying to fool people with this exterior. And see, people in your life will try to accuse you. The enemy of your soul will try to accuse you. And that's not the heart of God at all. And that leads to the second point, which is this. For each one of us, those of us that haven't sinned, we should go ahead and cast the stones. But those of us that have sinned, which I think last time I checked is everybody, have we all sinned? Raise your hand. Okay, can we all make a mask? Yes, we all have. We all have. And the moment you come to terms with that is the moment you can release and drop the stones. Irma Bombeck said about motherhood, she said, you know, before I was a mother, I used to be quicker to judge. Now I'm a mother and I have a lot more compassion. I think something happens when you have your own kids. Something happens in the experience of life. And you become less and less judgmental and more understanding and a willingness to forgive. And I want to ask you, who are you holding a stone against today? Anybody? A spouse, a brother, a sister, a coworker, somebody. We need to let those go. Because God doesn't want you to have a heart of judgment. He doesn't want you to be motivated by anything other than a heart of forgiveness and grace. And healing can occur in your home. Healing can occur in your marriage. Healing can occur in families. Healings can occur in workplaces. And if you have any form of leadership, any oversight, you need to be the person that always lets go of the stone We don't need to be throwing stones. Turn to somebody and say, don't be throwing stones, okay? Say that to somebody. Don't be throwing stones. And we don't want to be a church that throws stones. You need not throw stones at political people. You can disagree with them, but you don't need to be throwing stones. There doesn't need to be attitudes of edginess and quick judgment. You know, when I'm throwing around judgments, you know what I'm actually hiding? I'm hiding some of the sin in my own heart. I need to push other people down to somehow get me up higher. And at the core of our life, we need to just let go of any accusatory statements, any stones in our life. And that leads to the third one, which is this. Where are the accusers in your life? Where are the accusers? I mean, really, ultimately, when you look, if Jesus is next to you, you know what he says? I don't accuse you. He took on the accusation. Where did he take it on? At the cross. He took on all of those accusations, all of those sins, all of those failings. And you're going to have future failings. You'll have future sin. We all will. Does it give us a license to sin? Should it give us a license to sin? No. It should give us, I think, the more we understand grace, the more we want to be drawn to the Lord and lift our life up to be more pleasing. But even when we get to that place, we'll still stumble. We'll still fail from time to time. And God is not a God of condemnation. You know, if you ever get a sense that he's condemning you, you know what you'll do? You'll run. You'll distance yourself from him. That's why a lot of people don't come to church. It's not like, you know, sometimes we say, well, people don't go to church because church is boring or it's, you know, not relevant. I guess that can be the case in some churches. A lot of times people don't come to church because they feel condemned. Maybe not by anybody else, but the voice is in their own head. And they think, if I even get close in there, maybe God's going to just accentuate it or put that magnifying glass. No, no. God is a God of amazing grace. I told you the story a couple, it was maybe a year ago. We have my folks have a little beach house down at Seaside, Oregon. We usually make it down, usually just once for a week in summer. And our kids are here today, but sometimes, you know, they can come or portions of our family can. But this particular week, it was only Julie and I for 4 days down there. And I went out, and I call August Vision Month for me. And I like to, because prior kind of to the school year is kind of a new. And I will take out a yellow pad and I'll write out things about this coming school year and things pertaining to personal life or our family. And I usually, and I've always called it kind of Vision Month. August is Vision Month. We go down to the beach and I can kind of get away and think and get up early, get a cup of coffee, go out on the deck and do that. First 2 days, I couldn't do it. I would take my yellow pad and I got out there and it was like I had a brain block. And it was bugging me. It was like, come on, get going. This is like Vision Month and you've only got 4 days. Get with it. And it was, I was struggling. And you know what it was? It was a spiritual issue. And it wasn't an issue of condemnation, but all of a sudden I felt like God was saying, Steve, there's some things you need to deal with, some sin you need to deal with. And once we deal with that, then we can start the vision, is kind of what I... So some of you know this story, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating it. But I was on the deck, and on the deck there were some little sand toys because my folks will rent out the cabin to other families during the, and they have little buckets and things. And there was a sand bucket. And I had... you know, when you tell these stories, some people think you're kind of kooky, but I could care less, all right, because I am kooky. But I had this impression that I was to fill that bucket with sand that would represent my sins. So I went down and I scooped up this big thing of, I was like, okay, I've done that. There they are. And boy, there's a lot of granules of sin in there. And then God basically nudged me, said, I want you to take that bucket down to the beach and dump it in the ocean, because my ocean represents my grace. So I walked down there. I felt kind of silly walking with a little bucket. I was like me, and I was like, I wonder who's seen me. And I was swinging my bucket, walking down there, kind of got down there, looked around, waded out about 6 inches in the water, and poured that sand, which represented my sin. And it was like, let it go. And then it was like, how big is my ocean of grace? And it was like, it's big. You can't even see the horizon. The ocean goes as far as you can see, and then it just keeps going, doesn't it? And isn't that the grace of God? We can't comprehend it. Here's our, and you know, when I poured that, you know how the waves come in and you pour the sand and it seems like a big deal? And the water just, it evaporated. It was like it was gone. And today I want you to just allow the forgiveness of God to just sweep over you. Can you? Can you? We all have a bucket, don't we? We all have different things in that bucket. I don't need to look at your bucket. I only have to take care of my bucket. I've got plenty in my bucket. But I want to, it's not so much the sin in the bucket as much as the grace of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus said, look at your accusers, where are they? She looked up. They mysteriously, magically disappeared. All of those guys that had the big, you know, when you got stoned in that day, it wasn't like, let's get a, you know, a little baseball stone. They were ready. When they stoned him in that day, they brought stones, rocks. And you took them out to the edge of town and you bludgeoned them. And it was a gory mess and it wasn't pretty. But when they dropped those rocks, you could hear them thump, 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 and they scattered like rats. When she looked up, she was down. Because when you're shameful, where are you at? You're down. When he said, woman, come here. Look, where are your accusers? Where are they? They're gone. There's none. Neither do I. And then he said those words, now go and sin no more. Was he saying, I never want you to sin again? No, I just want you to live a new life. There's so much more. Maybe when he wrote in the sand and the dust, maybe he was writing the names of all of the men that were accusing her. And maybe putting their sins under the name. Or listing the sins that people had. Who knows what Jesus wrote, but when he started writing that, they got out of there quick. Because they knew they were dealing with not just a rabbi, they were dealing with God. And God knows everyone's heart. So this day, on this Mother's Day, I want you to receive one thing. You know, everybody gets a gift on Mother's Day. Sometimes it's a call from your children. Sometimes it's a card. Sometimes it's flowers. You know what God wants to give you on Mother's Day? Grace. He wants to give you grace. He wants to give you that ocean of grace. And just receive it. That's the beauty of it's a gift that you receive. And you can't give it, it's not like, I can't even say anything other than thank you, Lord. Thank you that you don't accuse me this day. Thank you that I'm not in a church of accusers. Thank you that we're not building a family that's accusing one another. Help us to be a family of love and of grace. You know, it says love covers what? All sins, a multitude of sins. Yeah, we all have a multitude of sin. And love does that. It begins to just cover us. We get to cover one another as God covers us. Isn't that wonderful? So go back to the story with Denzel Washington. His father was a minister. And his mother is a wonderful devout Christian. And he went through those tough days, but she said, I'll never give up on you. Isn't that a great message? That's the heart of a mother, and that's the heart of God. And Winston Churchill's mother that said, we're not going to let people intimidate you. We're going to build something within you, son, that's something great. And he taught the British people to prevail. He taught them to be strong because he had a mother that built strength into him. So this day, I want to ask that you receive the grace of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask